We'd like to teach today is from a sermon that was delivered in the 1600 by Thomas Brooks. And Thomas Brooks was a pastor in England, and he gave a sermon on 7 characteristics of false teachers. So I'm going to go through each characteristic, and also I'm going to use this sermon for our modern times. For us to understand. And as we read 1 Kings chapter 22 from verse 1 to 27, maybe you saw something there. Maybe you picked up something that is very relevant to our culture today. One thing is that a lot of majority of the prophets were not prophesying the truth. And the king did not want to hear what the true prophet had to say. When the true prophet prophesied what he had to say, the king said, I don't like him. Because whenever he comes, he always speaks evil of me. But I like the other prophets. The other prophets, I like them. Because the other prophets, always what they tell, I like him. I like to listen to him. It's pleasing to my ear. Believe we are living in the days that it is very relevant to the days that we are living today. There are a lot of false teachers, false teachings going on that people like to hear. It's pleasing to the flesh. It's pleasing to the ear, but it's not profitable to the heart. But if somebody speaks the truth, they want to hear. And they will brand them as a Calvinist. We don't want to hear that stuff. And this is what we are going to see today. And we are going to take some of these scriptures and really see how it is the church that was in the Old Testament is not any, there is nothing changes. Satan has the same scheme, same strategy, but it comes with a different label. And we need to be aware. So the first characteristic of a false teacher is false teachers, they love to please men. Their goal, their strategy is to get a big crowd and to please men. As I said, they preach, their preachings, their teachings wants to please the ears of the hearers, not the heart of the hearers. Their teachings is not to profit the hearer in repentance, but to profit themselves. In Isaiah chapter 30, if you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9 to 10, read from verse 8 to 10. The word of God says, now go right before them on a tablet and note it on a scroll that it may be for a time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceit. That's what the people like to hear. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the law of God. They don't want to hear the right things. But they want to hear that really pleases them, their flesh. I want to hear what I like to hear. And it's amazing, here the Lord is not talking to the pagans. He's not talking to the unbelievers. He's talking to the Israelites, to Judah he's talking here. And here, what we are seeing here, the people of the false prophets, the false teachers, they come within the church. They are within the church. They come within and they prophesy lies. And it's very appealing, their prophecies. It's very appealing, their sermons. You can go and see some of the churches today, what they are teaching is extremely appealing to you. And here what the Lord is saying here, the people love it. They love to hear that kind of sermons. They love to hear that kind of teachings. And also, they handle holy things. When they come to the Word of God, They want to hear, they don't want to hear the word of God. Actually, the holy word of God today is mixed. It's mixed with jokes and entertainment. The holy word of God. If you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 31, starting from verse 30, an astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. Talking here to Judah, God's own people. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? People love. What do people love today in the church to hear? Jokes, humor, entertainment. The pastors today, they will get their sermons, and then also they will look for worldly illustrations. Did you hear, did you see the advertisement on the television about, you know, whatever they say? Have you seen this ad? Have you seen this movie? And they try to crack jokes so people will tickle and they will laugh. And it pleases the flesh, the jokes. The humor pleases the flesh. If I come here with a lot of jokes, everybody will be, there are a lot of people, I can get a lot of people here and everybody will be laughing, excited. They will be alive in the flesh. But if I preach the word of God, people will, I don't want to hear that. That's boring. You can't go to sleep. So here, people like wit. They like humor. And that's what's happening today in the church. There is no, you cannot, it's impossible for you to mix the holy word of God with the worldly things. You cannot. Because God is holy and we need to serve Him with fear and reverence. And these are man pleasers, and these people, they like the applause of men. You hear in the churches applauding, applause of men, praises of men, and they will say all kinds of smooth words to get you keep going. Their words are, I mean, these people are really good in talking, extremely smooth words that will. They blend up the word of God, they use the scriptures, the word of God, with also with their flattery for their mischiefs. These smooth teachers are sweet soul poisoners. Let me put it another way. It looks like a beautiful food that is laid on the table that's very attractive. But when you eat it, it's all poison. So the first thing is, they are men pleasers. And the second characteristic of a false teacher is, false teachers are notable in casting dirt, scorn, and reproach upon the persons, names, and credits of Christ's most faithful ambassadors. What it means is, if somebody is preaching the truth, they don't like him. They will discredit that person. They will put that person down. And this is this is exactly what we saw in 1 Kings chapter 22, right? When God's prophet prophesied the truth, what did they do? Put him in prison. Don't give him food. Discredited him. If you see in Numbers chapter 16 verse 1, Numbers chapter 16 verse 1 says, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron, said to them, You take too much upon yourself, for all the congregation is holy among one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? Excuse me. Here we see there's a whole crowd coming against the leadership of Moses and Aaron. It's the same thing here. What we saw was, if you remember the times of all the Old Testament prophets, down the line, no one liked to hear them. No one liked to hear them. From all the way down, you will see from Enoch, after Enoch's prophecy, there came the downfall. And you will see Noah. People didn't want to hear him. And you will see all the way through, Jeremiah preached so many times, people didn't want to hear him. Isaiah, they persecuted the prophets. When Jesus came, when Jesus preached, what did they do to Jesus? They persecuted him too. Then when Paul came, they persecuted him too. All the prophets down the way through, all the way through down the line, they persecuted them. But today, they're not persecuted. There's a big difference here. What's happening today? Wow. They like to hear what they want, they are saying. They are hearing, oh, that's a great sermon, I love it. And there's no persecution today. The only people who will get persecuted are the people who are telling the truth of God. And today, you see, who are the teachers that are very popular today? Majority, are they getting persecuted? Absolutely not. They are living in very luxurious lifestyle. No persecution. Because they tell you with the word of God, and they blend it worldly things that will please you. They want to tell you what you would like to hear. In the same way, we see when the Reformation came, did they like the Reformers? Of course not. They persecuted them. The Reformers were persecuted. And they will not. Today, the church will not, majority of the church will not teach the roots of the Reformation. Why? They don't want to hear Calvinism. That's not good to the church. They will not teach the whole truth. They will teach what people would like to hear. And the third characteristic of a false teacher is false teachers are venters of the device and visions of their own heads and hearts. Jesus said, Matthew 25:4, take heed that no one deceives you. Matthew 24:4, he said, take heed that no one deceives you. What is the deception? Deception is something that you really believe, but it's not true. You believe, wow, it is really looks like a $100 bill counterfeit. You think it's really true, but it's not. Deception is something somebody makes, you know, somebody that can brainwash you. And here we see in Jeremiah chapter 14, if you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 14, at chapter 14 verse 13, let's start from verse 11 here. Then the Lord said to me, do not pray for these people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Then I said, Our Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. Today, we are living in this modern church. Many of the pastors, ministers will say to the congregation, the Lord spoke to me and told me this and that and all kinds of things, and they will listen to that. These people, these prophets were there in the Old Testament, and they are here again. Satan has the same strategy, same ways of doing work. And people listen to whatever they want to hear. And I'll tell you, when they speak to them, it's always something good, isn't it? It's always something that, wow, I like that one. They'll never tell you about your sins and how you have to repent. No rebuke. And if you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16, 23:16, and it says here, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, 'The Lord has said, you shall have peace.' And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart and says, 'No evil shall come upon you.'" Isn't that what the church is saying today? God is going to bless you. God is going to bless you. God is going to make, you know, more finances for you. He's going to bless you, and he's going to make you more comfortable, and he'll give you what you want. And you will not have any evil. You're going to have peace. And we are living, according to them, we are living in the times of grace, peace. Everything is going to be peace. But the thing is, they are preaching from their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 is, this is where we need to get back to the sola scriptura. We need to get back to the Word of God. The Word of God is the authority, nothing else. So Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 says, "Times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers of the by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoke to us by his Son, whom has appointed heir of all things, through whom he has made the world." Do not ever believe whatever who said, "God told me about you," and so forth like that. God said this and that. And people have said today they have seen God, and God said this is going to happen, and so don't ever believe that. God is not going to speak to anybody today apart from Scripture. God has spoken to us through Scripture, the Word of God. That's done. It's finished. These are fantasies, visions, delusions, vanities, and there Satan would like to really, you know, tickle your flesh that you like to hear. The fourth characteristic of a false teacher is false teachers easily pass over the great and weighty things, both of law and gospel, and stand most upon those things that are the least moment and concernment to the souls of men. And here we see the false teachers, they go to the very minor things and they make those minors a very big issue. If you can remember the Pharisees, if you turn with me to Matthew 23:23. Souls. Look to Matthew 23:23. And Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the various matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." And the false teachers, today's false teachers, I would like to add that, they will not teach the law of God. The gospel is the two-sided coin. One is the law, the other one is grace. They are not teaching the full side of the gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 3 and 5. 1 Timothy chapter 6. From verse 3. It says here, "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrines which are caused with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes, arguments over words from which come from envy, strife, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a gain, means of gain from such, withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contentment is of gain. And here we see so many people today preaching the gospel, you don't see godliness in them. Jesus didn't see any godliness in the Pharisees. There's an outward godliness, outward appearance of godliness, but when he looked at them, he saw them as dead man's bones. But inside, within them, there is no godliness. These teachers are hypocrites, and they do not preach the law of God today. You know, they do not preach the law of God because themselves is, they themselves is breaking the law of God. You know, they themselves is, they are worldly themselves. Because according to the book of, according to the God's word, Romans 7:7, Apostle Paul said, I did not know sin until I knew the law. The law is essential to show the sinner that he is a sinner, that he has committed a crime against God, that he is indebted to God, and his debt to God is infinitely great, that he cannot pay that debt, and God is going to pour out his wrath. And we know 1 John chapter 3, 4, John said, sin is what? Breaking the law. And how can you know that you're a sinner unless you do not preach the law of God? Because then the most of the preachers today, they are worldly. They go to movies. They watch all the worldly television, all the programs. They like the advertisements which is coming. And they enjoy the basketball games and the football games. Their illustrations are all worldly illustrations. How can you preach the law of God when they are in it? And the fifth characteristic is false teachers cover and color their dangerous principles and soul postures with very fair speeches, plausible pretenses, with high notions and golden expressions. Man, don't we see that today? It's very colorful, their preaching, isn't it? Their words are magnificent. And they look like a preacher. On physical appearance. That's the way people are looking. People are looking. He doesn't look like a preacher. No, I like this guy. This looks like real. Look at this. You know, he really looks like a preacher. Look at his physique, you know, the way he dresses and everything. You know. So the preachers today, they put an outward look for people to be noticed that they are more, they get deceived by their outward look. When you see the Pope with a lot of humility in his face, with a crown, people say, wow, he looks like a real holy man. I mean, we can talk about the Pope, what about the others? It's the same thing. How man looks at the outside. And they look for the physical outlook. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10:10. It's a good example. 2 Corinthians 10:10. It says here, this is about Paul. Let's read from verse 7. Do you look at the things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself. That just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. The letters of Paul is pretty powerful, it's strong. Look at him. Is that the guy? He looks pretty weak. He doesn't look like a preacher. He doesn't say colorful words, magnificent words. And, you know, Jesus himself was not very, you know, we see in the book of Isaiah, in the scriptures, that he was not very good looking either. You know, it's not the picture of Jesus what you see today. That's a man's picture have portrayed. And in the same way, the prophets of God, the true prophets of God, they were just regular men, regular people. And I'll tell you, today the church is looking for appearance, looking for the beautiful flow of the words. Look at Robert Schuller on TV. How many people like to see Robert Schuller? Wow. And look at all the preachers who come today. That sounds good. The Armenian preacher sounds good. And everybody who comes and preaches on the television sounds very good. In outward looks, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 13, Apostle Paul said, "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself to an angel of light." And they look very sweet outside, but inside, they're not from God. The sixth characteristic is false teachers strive more to win over men to their opinions than to better them in their conversion. It means, why the false preachers preach a false gospel? Why? They want people. That's the opinion today. The vote is what? Everybody, I think majority of the church believes this way, so I will go that way. Because if I put the radio on, look, Chuck Swindoll, Charles Stanley, and Chuck Smith, and everybody is preaching almost the same thing. Greg Glory, wow, isn't he nice? They're all preaching nice words. The same thing. Who is preaching Calvinism? Nobody. Why should I go that way? Because the majority of the churches believe that way. I'll tell you, from the very beginning, from Genesis to Revelation, the majority is always wrong. It's always the minority. It's always the minority. The reformers were not the majority. They were persecuted. Today, Calvinism is not the majority. They are the minority. They don't want to hear that. I'll tell you. They want people to listen to their opinions. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 23:15. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much as a son of hell as yourself." I'll tell you, most of the people today preaching the gospel, they preach a gospel of Armenianism. They love to travel, they love evangelism, aren't they? It's the same thing what happened in the times of Jesus. There are a lot of missionaries today, of Armenian missionaries, going always sacrificing themselves. For what? They do not preach repentance. They do not preach the wrath of God. They preach, "God has not appointed us unto wrath." Isn't that what they are preaching? There is no true repentance. God has not appointed us unto wrath. Hey, we are waiting for the rapture, brother. That's what they are preaching. The rapture, brother. That's not the true gospel. There is no true repentance. And they do all kinds of evangelistic words. And they tell you, hey, you just receive Christ. Say this prayer. So you will not go through what? The tribulation. You will escape the tribulation. Isn't that an easy way out? That's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. So how can you say Calvinism and Arminianism and say, hey, they're Arminians, they are brothers. How can you make them brothers if you have a two different gospel? It's impossible. And here we see true repentance is not taught. What is true repentance? True repentance is really seeing that you have sinned against God and that you have made a criminal offense against God, and God is the hurting party and the wrath of God is going to fall upon you. And that you are accountable to God and that you have a debt to pay and you have made a heinous crime against God. And that's when people should see that. Today you don't see the wrath of God being preached. Okay, let's go to the servant characteristics. The servant one, false teachers make merchandise of their followers. And I will give a scripture for this. If you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 2. Peter. There's no 1 Peter 5 2. Where am I looking? Here it is. Looking at 2 Peter. 1 Peter 5 2 4. Peter is talking to the elders here. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. And today we see a lot of these false teachers, they want to get, not really to give. They persuade people to give. They look at your wallet. They're more concerned about the money. They are interested more in your wallet than your soul. If you look at them, how they live in luxury. They drive beautiful cars. They have all the comforts. And they take the money from the people, and they are doing is they're squeezing your wallet. And they live in good comfort. Isn't today what is being taught in Armenian churches is a what? Prosperity gospel. Ezekiel chapter 34 verse 1 to 4. 34:1-4. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherd of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Selves should not be the shepherds, feeds the flock. You eat the fat and the clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. And here we see how they're squeezing the congregation, the people of the church, their money. Of course, today's people, they are looking for big buildings. They are looking for music. I love the music here. Wow, they are clapping. There's a drums. There's all kinds of musical instruments. And the pastor, wow, the way he talks, really neat, you know. He's like the center, and he cracks all these jokes, and people are excited. They're all clapping, and then they say, now give a clap offering to the Lord. They all clap. And they have all the programs in the church and the buildings. They are more interested of the church buildings and the church programs than really preaching the true gospel to the poor. We got a lot of work to do. We are small. We got a lot of work to do. That's why we need to, you know, I hate to see anybody in this church listening to the Armenian gospel. Anybody. And that's not going to profit you nothing. And that will make you, it will be just like the prophets in the Israel and Judah time, that they will tell you what you like to hear. I'll tell you, when they give their sermons, it's very nice to the flesh. But have you ever heard them talking about what's about Calvinism, the roots of Reformation, about the wrath of God that's going to fall upon, that how you had to flee from the wrath of God? Have you ever heard? No. No. You will not hear. Have you been truly convicted and fall down and repented and cried before God through your sins? No. You will go happily smiling after that. And you will remember all the jokes they said, but you will not remember the word of God. All the humor, the jokes, the entertainment, you will remember those. And this is, we got a lot of work to do as a church here today. And we have a lot of work to do in a sense, evangelism. The true gospel is not being preached, so we got to do it. We need to stand up for Jesus as the word says, as the song says, not only in music, in giving, you know, wow, nice tune, I like that song, but truly we got to do it, what it says. And this is where God has blessed us material ways. He has blessed us with that copy machine. He never thought that we would be able to get it because our church didn't have no credit. But God used an unbeliever, used a man to work behind the scenes while we were praying here. And before even it went to a leasing company, he brought it here anyway. And God is using to use booklets, materials, like how our brethren went to Mexico there, and God has opened a door that we can give materials there, and next time when we go, we are going to preach the gospel there. The true gospel. And we see when we go, who are the people who are going there? Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, United Pentecostal Churches, and of course we see a lot of Armenian gospel throughout in the radio, all over. So we are not going to sit back and listen to all the good doctrines and say, man, I'm growing. If you are growing truly, you need to exercise your faith. And this is where we have to go and preach the true gospel for the people who haven't heard. Actually, our ministry is basically for the people who thought they are Christian and who are thinking they are Christians, and to show them that they are falsely deceived. And Robert and Tony and there's Andy and the others are making a lot of booklets. And so Chris is making the tapes and involved in the church. But there are a few of us who are just, I don't have work much to do. And so this is where I think we need to do something. And I'm going to make a lot of tracks that like this, like the sermon today, that it will come to the level of the people, modern church. Lot of reformed tracks I will make into plain English that they will understand, and make booklets. And we have to give these things, distribute. We got a place there. We can make 20,000 copies for one cartridge. Yeah. Okay. And we got resources and we got the material, but we need the people to do it. So what I want to say is that I know everybody is working, including myself. I know we are all tired, we are all working, but in your leisure time, the time that you have for, don't spend it to the world. Don't use the extra time that you have for the world. Use it for the glory of God. The devil will make you to spend that time for him. The time and the money and everything what you have, because the time is short. God has numbered our days. And we are small. As a small ministry, we need to strive to enter through the narrow gate. And apostles said in the book of Acts, it's not easy to enter to the kingdom of God. So there will be difficulties. And I'll tell you, once you're done, just like that song said, stand up for Jesus, you are going to get a reward. A blessing, true blessing comes once you die from the Lord. So put your treasures not in here, but where? Jesus said, in heaven. That's where our treasure should be. Now we got a lot of work to do. Okay? And we are getting ready now for the big crusade that is coming up. And we need to work to do. We are looking for laborers. And we are going to give materials to the people. We have to put this in laundromats.
to the houses and so forth like that. And we need to do it. That's why Jesus said, pray for the laborers. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So, people are deceived by a false doctrine. I'm not talking here Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons. They are black and white. You can see they are false. But the deception is that you don't realize that you have been deceived. That's the Arminian gospel. Because Arminian gospel, people think they are already saved. They are Christians. And those, in closing, I want to give you a little example. This is what I heard. It's Calvary Chapel, Christian Bible Answer Man program. Every man an answer. There you go. A girl called, 9-year-old girl named Jessica, called and asked, what is salvation? And the pastor who answered that, he has been a Calvary Chapel pastor for a very long time, comes from a very big church, and he said, Jessica, do you know Jesus? She said, yes. Have you accepted Jesus into your heart? Yes. Then you're saved. You're going to go to heaven. Now, that's salvation. Isn't that what the reformers said? Now, this is where we got work to do. I mean, we need to flee from the wrath of God that is going to come. Talk about sin, repentance. There's no salvation without that. How can you get saved? Saved from what? Well, how do you get saved? Saved from the wrath of God that is going to come. And this is where we got work to do. So we need to wake up. We need to wake up and we need to preach boldly the word of God. I'll tell you. You know, God gives us a big van or whatever like that. God gives us the equipment, the money. We need to go and preach the gospel no matter what. I'll tell you, like the others, reformers, they will throw rotten eggs at us. They will throw all kinds of things at us, but we need to go and preach. We will be persecuted. They will take everything what we have, but we need not to look to our selfish reasons, not to look to what is happening. Oh, I'm getting hurt, you know, looking for those things, not to look to circumstances, but we need to look to the Lord. And I'll tell you, as Christians, true Christians, we are going to serve Him no matter what. And we are going to go. We are going to go and fight the battle, run the race to the end. And the battle belongs to the Lord. God is looking for laborers who are truly wants to serve Him in a fervent spirit. And I encourage each one of you. But first, we need to put our fleshly things, our worldliness, here in the church. We need to get rid of that, crucify the flesh, so you can carry the cross. Let's pray.